Hello and welcome to another episode of Radio Free Nintendo. I'm your host, Carl Castaneda, and joining me today, first up, now in his fourth podcast appearance in a row, Mike Sklens.
Not yet struck by the Madden curse.
And it's our other John, John Lindemann.
Yeah!
Yeah, that's all he's got to say. And that's the end of John Lindemann's part in this episode of
Radio
Free Nintendo.
That's it. See you next week, folks. Probably not.
Anyways, we got tons and tons to talk about, so let's start with what we've been playing.
Well, I really think we just need to rename this section, Let Us Show You Our Pokemans.
Yes.
Well, that too, but I think since Lindy hasn't been on in a really, really long time, we should start with him.
Yeah, let's see. Okay, so I finally finished Twilight Princess.
That's topical.
Yeah, I mean, everybody here is like, yeah, really, that's great. Good. Congratulations. But yeah, that was actually a big accomplishment for me. And I must say the ending was pretty cool, probably in terms of Zelda endings. I don't know. It was up there. It wasn't as good. I liked Wind Waker more.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, I liked Wind Waker's sword in forehead.
Yes, exactly. The sword in the forehead was definitely a high point. Just because it completely shocked me that it would be that violent at the end of a Zelda game.
Especially that Zelda game.
I know. It's, how ironic is that? I mean, the one that's supposedly the most kiddie has the most violent ending.
What I love about the ending is that he plunges a sword right into Ganondorf's forehead, and yet Ganondorf can still speak perfectly fine.
Oh, totally.
Yes.
Yeah. Ganondorf, dude.
Yeah, of course.
It's all good.
I mean, really, he dies every game and then comes back, so what do you expect?
There you go.
Let's see. What else have I been playing? Pokemon Pearl. I picked that up, and Pokemon always amazes me because, you know, I kind of laugh it off as a kiddie game, but it's actually a really good RPG. I mean, it's kind of basic, but I mean, it's really, really deep, and you know, I mean, I wouldn't have picked it up, but the Wi-Fi stuff really hooked me in. I have yet to play it online, but eventually I'll hook up.
We'll have to battle.
And Pale.
So. Yes, I traded friend codes with Lindy earlier this week, so eventually I will show him my Pokemans.
Yeah, yes. It's just a matter of time, and I'm sure it will be disturbing.
It's gonna happen.
We are really running that catchphrase into the ground on this show.
Oh, I think it's already been ran to the ground. I think it's become so ran into the ground that it's now ironic and therefore cool to say it again.
Yes. I don't know. Maybe.
Yes, it's become bad. It's become so bad that it's good again.
Exactly.
The only other thing I've been playing is... I'm reviewing Konami Arcade Classics, and that's actually... I thought it would be kind of subpar, but as far as compilations go, it's actually really well done. So look for that review coming up on the site.
Cool, cool, cool. And what about you, Obi?
I've been playing a lot of Pokemon. I'm pretty far. I've got 6 or 7 gym badges now. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Damn!
So I'm pretty far. And all my Pokemans are like floating around the mid-30s as far as their levels are concerned.
Really? Yeah. I'm kind of disappointed in you, Mike.
Well, you know, I have a real job.
Right.
I feel the same way. I'm like, I can't build up my Pokemons. I have life to do.
Yeah, I spent...
Okay.
My girlfriend's gone for the summer, so I've had a lot more time to play video games.
I got it.
Which means I've also gotten back into Super Paper Mario. I finally finished Chapter 3, which, if you haven't gotten that far yet, I guess just, like, fast forward 30 seconds so I can spoil a little bit.
I'm taking off my headset.
It's got a brilliant dating sim parody at the end of Chapter 3 that had me rolling on the floor laughing.
Amazing. Awesome.
End of spoilers.
But is that all your plan?
Yeah, that's all. I've just those two games. Oh, and while I was sitting in the theater waiting for Spider-Man 3 to start, I was playing Tetris with my friend.
Well done.
Probably the highlight of your night, I'm sure, speaking of Spider-Man 3.
I thought it was okay. It wasn't as bad as X-Men 3, let's put it that way.
No, it wasn't. That's
it was
true.
Still okay. Anyway, let's get off that topic and discuss what you've been playing.
What have I been playing? Well, I've actually been playing a lot. See, as some of our listeners might know, I'm a senior in high school, which means that my year is basically over. And so I've just been playing video games every day at school. So, like, I think it was last Thursday... I had an Unreal Tournament LAN party in second period. And, really. I came in second, so I was really proud of myself. And then later that day in fifth period, we had a Super Smash Brothers tournament. And I actually did really well in that. I almost came in first. Almost.
So, but what kind of school do you go to, Carl?
Well, no,
I go to a Florida education school, which means that it's no education at all.
Let me give you a similar story. When I was a senior in a Florida high school, I was in a special program. I guess you could say that the school board didn't have enough money to hire more tech support, essentially. So they took like six or seven of us over the summer. They bought us A-plus certification classes, and then they had us fix computers around the school for a year.
Nice.
But every now and then, that was like, it was like a one period, like each of us was in there for like a different period of the day, and we'd run around and fix computers. But every now and then our teacher would be like, yeah, I need the whole technology crew, like all seven or eight of them, for the whole day, because we're doing some big project. And it was, I mean, there was no big project. The big project was I brought in my GameCube, and we hooked it up to the projector and played Smash Brothers and ordered pizza.
Nice.
Which was probably the highlight of my senior year, those couple days, because I didn't do anything.
Oh, yeah, that's basically what my year's been like.
Yeah, back in the day, I used to work tech support at a college, and during the summer, it's dead, so we used to play, and there were always, like, three or four of us in there, so we used to have Warcraft tournaments.
Nice.
It was classic.
Yeah, I can attest to the summer being dead, because I also work at a college, and,
yep.
Oh, I don't have anything to do sometimes, and it's, like, the most awesome feeling ever.
Yep.
Well, other stuff I've been playing besides Unreal and Smash Bros. Tourneys with friends, I bit the bullet and bought Pokemon. And I traded
in a
few games for it. And I bought Diamond. And it's basically been owning my life ever since. I've had it now for 4 or 5 days. And I've put, so far, 20 hours in.
Nice.
So quite a few.
Not bad.
My Pokemon are all at least at level 20, with my my top ringer, which is my
no names. No Pokemon names.
No. Okay, right. The big penguin is at is at level 39 ish, I guess. Mm-hmm. No 40s yet. But a friend of mine brought the game in today, and I traded to get some of the evolutions that you can only get by trading, as well as some of the Pearl-specific Pokemon. And I, you know what? I gotta say, I haven't done any Wi-Fi battling yet, but I did some multi-card wireless, and it's pretty good. I like showing off my Pokemon to other people.
Yeah, I haven't done any Wi-Fi battles either, just local with my friends.
Yeah, it's funny, but man, Pokemon still draws in the crowds.
What?
I tell you, man, that game, it just, I've never seen a game with more replay value than that.
Really,
crazy.
I mean, it was me and this friend of mine, Julio, and literally like eight people crowded around. It's like, what are you playing? Pokemon. I'm grabbing a chair.
Yeah.
So
I wish they would have upgraded the graphics.
So yeah, I was definitely enjoying my school day because I had three subs in a row, and it was just, I have block scheduling, so that means I had subs the whole day, and my high school is a joke. I do so much crap all day long, and part of that means playing video games,
yep.
Which is good because that means for this show I actually have stuff to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, my only comment on Pokemon is that I just wish that they would have upgraded the graphics on it.
Because I think that the graphics are pretty smooth.
The overworld graphics are a nice step up, but like apart from that, it's just like the sprites don't even look that much better than they used to.
Yeah, I mean,
they're like a hair better than GBA Pokemon sprites.
Yeah,
but that's
I suppose. But yeah, all in all, Pokemon, it will suck you in. It has the power to make a man into a child.
Yes, it does.
So, if you haven't bought it yet, take it from someone who hated Emerald. When I reviewed it, I gave it like a 5 or something. So,
yeah,
and I love Diamond. So, buy it. Awesome. And I think that about wraps up for what you've been playing, so let's move on to community. We've got Virtual Console Mondays first up on the TurboGrafx-16, recommended for everyone, Shockman. Not to be confused with Rockman.
Can someone explain Shockman to me? I've never heard of it.
Shockman, go ahead, Carl.
Well, I was just going to pull up the Virtual Console write-up that we had up on the site.
Go ahead.
And let's see what we've got here. Written by our own TYP, says, "This decidedly treasure-like action game from the NCS consists of 8 stages in both action and side-scrolling stages. The action stages are similar to Mega Man with his trusty Mega Buster, while the side-scrolling levels are closer to Gradius or R-Type. Controls for the two are nearly identical, as are the characters, which are slightly sluggish in the action stages, but acceptable using any of the three controllers. While challenging, Shockman is not nearly as cruel as some other shooters, making it more approachable than many other old-school action games available on the Virtual Console. Shockman does feature two-player co-op and an amusingly shoddy localization, but the lack of a difficulty setting may disappoint hardcore fans of this game style. Even so, Shockman is worth the $6 entry fee.
Hmm. Sounds like so, I won't buy that.
Probably not.
So who actually developed it? You know, was it Hudson or?
Well, I think everything on TurboGrafx has been Hudson, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, pretty well. I mean, there was some stuff that wasn't Hudson, but...
No, I mean, as far as Virtual Console, I'm pretty sure it's all Hudson.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
I'm pretty sure it's all been Hudson, so it's probably them. Next up, recommended for fans, Castlevania on the NES. Not surprising that it got a recommendation for fans, because it is blisteringly difficult.
If you're looking, and honestly, if you're really looking for a Castlevania game to be buying on the Virtual Console, you should be buying Castlevania 4.
Definitely. Castlevania 4 is a great game, yeah.
Because they were actually talking about it today on another podcast that I listened to, and they were talking. One of the guys hadn't played the first one. He's like, "Yeah, I'm used to Castlevania games where you go through this gauntlet of enemies, but then you get a room right before the boss where you can basically power up and recoup all your losses." But the original Castlevania has no such room.
Castlevania 4 does not either.
Well, neither does that, I guess. And so, was that something new with Symphony of the Night?
It's an Iga thing. It only shows up in Iga's games, I think.
I gotcha. So, yeah, he was basically expecting that for this game, and then was sadly disappointed.
Yeah, that one actually, the first one actually requires skill to beat. A lot of skill. I mean, you have to sit there and practice. It's really old school.
It's one of those old school, this is so hard, you have to be good to actually beat
it. No, you don't need to be good, you just need to know where every single enemy is and what exactly it's going to do.
Yeah.
Ah, so it's pattern memorization.
Kind of. I mean, yeah, it reminds me of something like Super Ghouls and Ghosts or something like that. Probably not that difficult, but it's kind of the same deal.
Gotcha. Well, last up, recommended for fans, The Legend of the Mystical Ninja on the Super Nintendo. But some people will probably know this series better as Goemon.
Yeah.
Or is it Goemon? I don't know how it's
spelled. I think you just said the same thing twice.
It's go-e or go-a, go-e or go-a.
Okay. I don't know.
But it's probably Goemon. But we've talked about this for too long already. And it looks cool. Mystical ninjas are always nice to have,
I guess. A lot of people are big fans of that series.
Of those ninjas.
I remember I played this game a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Mm-hmm. And I remember good things, but I can't remember it really for the life of me. It was one of those games I rented from Blockbuster for the Super Nintendo, and I probably beat it in a weekend and then returned it. But it was pretty good. I remember it being pretty good.
Well, Johnny Metz wrote up the article here, and he says he's much more eager for the two N64 games. So look forward to those instead, I guess. Yeah. Okie doke, that wraps us up for Virtual Console Mondays. On to listener mail. Our good buddy Saturn, who hasn't been on the show in quite a while, gave us this question that says, "So what's with this 5 minutes of fame thing?" Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, listen to the last episode and listen to the first commercial, which basically says that we're coming up on episode 52 of Radio Free Nintendo, which is our 1 year anniversary extravaganza, and in honoration of that, we are giving you, the listeners, a chance to voice your opinion. You can record between 1 to 5 minutes. Any segment you please, whether it be a news piece or a review or an editorial or something like that, and the best one will be put on the air. Just make an MP3 of your segment and send it to rfn@nintendoworldreport.com.
And don't curse like a sailor.
Don't curse like a sailor. I mean, I know I do it and Stan does it, but we're pirates and we get that, we have that privilege. So, and Mike always scolds me afterwards.
I do. I like us to not have the explicit tag on iTunes, even though it probably doesn't affect anything.
It doesn't, but and I wish I'd tell them, we need to be hip with the kids. We need to curse more.
I think it makes us sound immature.
Whatever.
We just need to spell stuff with Z at the end.
Yes. And in honoration of that, let's get on to the news with a Z at the end after this commercial break. Hey there everybody, Carl Castagneda here. We have a great time putting on this show. It gives us a really great opportunity to voice our opinions on the latest in the world of Nintendo. But we know that you as listeners also have your opinions, and we know you'd like to voice them. So we're giving you a one-shot deal in honoration of our 50th episode and our upcoming one-year anniversary. So here's the deal. You record a segment between 1 and 5 minutes and send it to rfn@nintendoreport.com in an MP3 format. Basically, you can discuss a news piece, a review, or even an opinion. That's right, everybody. This is your chance to be heard on Radio Free Nintendo. So again, the address is rfn@nintendoreport.com. Get it to us soon, and we'll be hearing the best ones on the air. Alrighty, guys, let's get back to the show. Okay, and we're back for the news. First up, Shigeru Miyamoto makes the Time 100 Most Influential People. The article was written by Pro Gamer Fatality, also known by his real name, Jonathan Wendell. And how many of us actually read this article?
I read through it right before we recorded this.
You did not. Well, I mean, the gist of it was basically him talking about how Miyamoto has influenced him.
It's really cheesy. He's like, oh, I've been playing Nintendo since I was 4, and I use a really awesome computer to play my games, but when I want to have fun, I play my Wii, and I play it with my grandma, and it's such an awesome system. Oh my god, you should totally buy it.
The thing is, that doesn't tell me why Miyamoto is influential.
Yeah, well, I guess the point that he was stating is that he brings games to everybody. Which is true, whatever. But it was just like this, such this like gushy advertorial style piece that I couldn't believe.
Yeah. Also, I think Iwata is more deserving of being on that list.
I think Iwata is very underrated.
Yeah, well, he's the guy who came up, well, not came up with, but decided to implement the Blue Ocean strategy.
Yeah,
there you go. So,
I mean, really, like, can anybody say that when Iwata took that job, that Nintendo could they have predicted that Nintendo would be where it is right now?
No, yeah, it's all
definitely
him.
Not.
It's all him. Yeah. I mean,
he's using Miyamoto. You know, Miyamoto's obviously a key integral force in all of it, but it's Iwata's. You know, he's heading everything up. It's his vision.
Yep,
absolutely. And speaking of Miyamoto, he recently did an interview with Jeff Keighley over at Entertainment Weekly, and some weird statements from Mr. Miyamoto.
It's a pretty candid interview, actually.
Unusually candid for Miyamoto. When I was first reading him, like, this has to be fake, because he's usually so very, you know, businesslike and polite, you know, basically not giving any real answers.
It's very candid for anyone at Nintendo, period.
Very much so. Some such statements like, I could make Halo, but I choose not to.
I mean, you know, he probably could. I mean, he obviously has the chops and he knows game design.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he could head up a project and, you know, He worked a lot with N-Space on Geist, you know, and I mean, yeah, a lot of people didn't like Geist, but Geist was a completely passable game, let me tell you, because I actually played it.
I bought it for $10.
Most people even played it. I got a reviewable, and it was half decent. I mean, it wasn't a bad game.
Yeah, I paid.
And Naked Samus, don't forget.
That's true. Yeah, I paid $10 for Geist, and I still haven't played it, so.
I thought about picking it up, but I've got so many other games to play that I'll never get to it.
He also says some other crazy things, like he wasn't happy with the way some of the games that, you know, Nintendo had been farming out a lot of their franchises to third parties just to get more games out towards the end of the GameCube's lifespan, and he's really disappointed in games like Star Fox Assault or Dinosaur Planet. They both kind of stunk. But he also mentions F-Zero, and he doesn't say which F-Zero, but if he's talking about GX, he's completely insane, because that was maybe the best GameCube game ever.
I'm pretty sure he's talking about the GBA games, which were farmed out of third parties, so...
He must have been.
You know,
But he brings up an interesting point there, you know, like, do you think Nintendo will keep farming out their first parties, or do you think they've learned that it's just not the best idea?
I think that they will probably bring more games back into the first party studio. I think it's just because they've got more, you know, internal talent now. I mean, they just acquired Monolith Soft, or acquired a, you know, large share of them anyway.
Yeah.
And they've got, you know, what's the status of N-Space and Nintendo? Are they still together, or is it
really,
just like a...
I don't really think so. As far as I know, as far as anyone knows, really.
I haven't heard of
it. I guess they weren't really that happy with Geist's performance in the market. And you can't really blame them.
No,
but you can't really blame Endspace. I mean, the game was mediocre, but it came out at the end of the GameCube's lifespan, and the market for shooters just didn't exist on the system. So it's really not just Endspace's fault.
And wasn't it Endspace's really like their first big game?
Yeah, before that they had done... Well, I mean, that's not... You can't really... You know, a lot of companies... You know, a lot of companies have to toil in obscurity making games like that because it's the only way to make money.
Yeah.
They were very, very, very happy to be involved with the project. I mean, I spoke to them a couple times, and they were extremely happy to not be doing some sort of licensed game and to get to work their creative juices.
Mm-hmm. Right. But yeah, I definitely think that Nintendo will be bringing games back into the first-party tent.
Even if that means bringing the aforementioned third parties into the first-party tent along with them. In the case of Monolith Soft.
Right.
Well, I think that with that, the way that all shook out on the GameCube, I mean, I think the reason why they gave, like, say, like, even if you want to talk about F-Zero GX with Sega, the reason why that they were doing that is because they needed more games for GameCube, and they were probably looking for, like, an economical way to do that without I mean, they were probably pouring all of their development resources into something else. The GameCube was kind of falling off at that point. Whereas now you have the Wii, which justifies them pouring all kinds of money into it because it's a money-making machine. So, you know, there's no reason for them to farm out anything because they're not looking to really... I mean, all the money that they put in, they'll get it back, so...
Definitely.
I mean, there's just really, like, a huge crop of Nintendo franchises that haven't been visited in a long time.
And we've talked about that a couple times.
Oh, well, yeah. So, I mean, maybe they're going to be putting certain franchises to bed for a little while... You know, we don't really know when the next time we'll be seeing Star Fox will be, so... Have they said they're working on a Wii version? I don't think so.
Not yet.
I mean, we know Animal Crossing is coming back. We haven't heard anything about Pikmin, even though we've talked about it multiple times on the show. So, that's another question mark, but...
Yeah,
hey,
I mean,
Nintendo's got, like...
Hopefully Pikmin will come out next... I'd like to see it next year with online.
Be good stuff. Really?
I'd love to see it next year with online. Pikmin online, yeah. That'd be fun.
Totally.
Yeah, maybe. We you know, you can't really rule anything out with Nintendo.
Pikmin MMO.
Pikmin... Oh, I hope not. It's like, if they do a Pikmin MMO, I'll be so pissed. Because if they're going to do... Their first MMO, if they ever do one, has to be Pokemon.
Let's not talk. Yeah. Let's move to the next topic. Look, guys, Nintendo might be moving part of their teams into either New York or San Francisco offices. Specifically sales or marketing. Thoughts?
Right, We don't know if it's going to be localization. We don't know where the Treehouse is going.
The Treehouse isn't going anywhere.
Yeah, that's probably going to stay.
Well, the only report comes from Game Informer, and it's a report that says inside sources that Nintendo's given their sales and marketing teams a deadline about whether they want to move to a new location or take a severance package.
And I mean, that's for Birdhammer too. So I mean, come on.
They're not moving the whole. They're definitely not moving the whole operation to New York because that's retarded. Because being on the West Coast lets them communicate easier with the Japanese branch. Sales and marketing don't really need to be on the West Coast. The Treehouse does.
Yeah, sales and marketing could go to New York, and I think that makes things... Because, I mean, a lot of business deals go down in New York, and Redmond not so much.
No, but yeah, I think they are a technology company. They might stay on the West Coast just because, you know, I mean, pretty much a lot of developers are out there on the West Coast. So San Francisco seems, you know, also equally viable.
There are tons and tons of media outlets in
San Francisco.
San Francisco
is video gaming. I mean, is technology. It's everything.
I mean, my question is, though, with their marketing, is with, like, the marketing firm that they're using, are they based in New York?
Golan Harris?
Are they based in New York? Because if they are, it would make more sense to have them on the same time zone.
I believe they work out of the L.A. offices.
Okay.
For PR.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm
One
sure...
One time, I noticed... that Golan Harris has an office in Florida. I thought that was kind of cool.
It's here in Tallahassee, actually. But I'm sure, you know...
Is it?
They do marketing for a million companies, so...
Yeah, right. But, we might be seeing part of NOA leave Redmond. We don't know for sure right now, but we'll keep you updated as news arrives. next up, Star Fox 64 on the Virtual Console is quote-unquote patched and brings mixed reactions.
This is kind of old news.
They improved... It's kind of old news, but we thought you might like to hear about it anyway. It might have some interesting discussion between us. Analog stick support was improved on the Virtual Console controller, meaning it's going to be it was a little touchy before, and now it's a little more there's a little more weight to it, so maybe it's a little easier to control. But they also added lag in certain areas, so there's going to be slowdown.
Well, add it, I think, you know, it's back, like, it's a more perfect right. emulation of the N64 version, which means it's kind of slow.
That's stupid. That's yeah, dumb. Well, I don't
first
like
of all,
that.
Let me say that I have it, and I didn't notice any problem with the analog stick. I mean, I guess it's there, obviously, if they patched it, but I didn't think it was, you know, I didn't think it was that hard.
Have you downloaded the patch?
No, I don't want to, because I don't want the slowdown.
Neither do I. Neither do I. And I was like, as soon as I read Johnny's article, I was like, not gonna download the patch.
Yeah, I mean, if I was having problems with the analog control, I might have, but I'm not, so.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna wait, and if they patch it again and fix the analog and the slowdown and keep no slowdown, I'll go back and get it.
Yeah, I'm just glad they're patching stuff.
And you never know.
Yeah, they have the option too.
Mm-hmm. Right. And our last news story of the day, Midway's Wii developments. Two exclusive games will be announced and released later this year, and Mortal Kombat Armageddon is coming out this month.
I bet you so, at least one of those exclusive games is some sort of, you know, party, let's have a good time, Wii Sports, Rayman Raving Rabbids kind of game.
Probably. I'm guessing it's based on a Nickelodeon property. Billy and Mandy's coming back.
I don't think it's going to be based on anything. I think it's going to be an original IP, because if they were going to promote something with a license, they'd be putting it on all platforms.
Yeah,
perhaps.
Or an unoriginal IP, as it were.
Perhaps. But, yeah, and what do we think about Mortal Kombat Armageddon? Have any of us been keeping up with this?
Don't care.
I don't know. I'm just interested in it in the sense I want to see what they do with the Wii controller. I mean, if they can make it control, you know, in a responsive manner, I think that could actually be pretty neat.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we all saw the video a while back of Ed Boon doing the combos with the Wii controller, and he made the odd statement that even your grandmother can pull off fatalities now.
But yes.
It looks a little wonky, and the graphics are a little more wonky, but I'll keep an eye on it, because I do have a soft spot for Mortal Kombat in my heart from the old days. So
yeah, I'm not.
I'll probably end up reviewing it, I'm sure. Anyway, that actually closes us up for news, so when we come back, we've got our feature segment where we're going to be talking about summer games, so stay tuned.
Nintendo World Report's Radio Trivia, annoying you Friday nights.
Okie doke, and welcome back to our feature where we're talking about summer games on the Wii. You know, we've got a somewhat healthy list of games here that are going to be released between May 29th and August 14th. First up is Mario Party 8, released on, of course, May
I'm really 29th. Tempted to pick this game up because my former college roommate is going to be in town over the whole summer, and he's like the biggest Mario Party fiend ever, and my girlfriend's not here over the whole summer, so I feel like I should buy this just so I can play it and drink.
Yeah, pretty much. If you live in a college dorm, you should own that game.
Especially with, you know, with really, Wii controls plus Mario Party plus alcohol will be gold.
It would be retarded.
Mario Party plus alcohol equals happy money.
Yeah, plus Wii controls equals, oh my god, even better.
It should just come with a coupon for like a six pack of something.
It should come with bail money. Anyway, so Mario Party 8. Looking forward to it. And the past Mario Parties haven't been awesome, but maybe with the Wii controls,
the promise of Wii controls really makes me think that Mario Party 8 can be like, you know, can be more than just. I mean, it'll be just mini games, but you know, the Mario Party games have always been fun, even if they've been like so formula. They've always still been fun, but this time, you know, we're taking the same formula and they're putting all these Wii controls into it, and it can't fail. It's going to be the game that Raving Rabbids wishes it could be.
Yes.
Right. Now, our next game down the list, we talked about this, I think, a few episodes ago, but it's Big Brain Academy.
It's coming out on June 11th.
June 11th, and we've talked about it before, so there's not really much to say. I mean, if you've played Big Brain Academy on the DS, you pretty much know what the gist of it is. You know, it's basically like logic-based puzzles, but really fast. Isn't that basically the gist of it?
I enjoy it.
And doesn't it have like 8-player multi?
It's got 4-player multi, but I'm just disappointed that it doesn't leverage any online support. Like, yeah, I guess you could say that with pretty much all of these games. Like, why the hell doesn't Mario Party 8 have online? That's retarded.
Yeah.
Well, with Mario Party, I suggested online play once, and Johnny kind of set me straight. He told me, really, Mario Party is about being in the same room, and I kind of...
Who cares? I would like to have the option. It's not like it wouldn't have 4-player local.
That's
just
true.
Just because it had online. Why? It should have both. It's stupid.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
But Big Brain, like... Even if I could just, like, see what my friend's brain age scores were, like, if the Wii could just take that score, like, and just post it to my friend's Wii message board, mm-hmm. why can't it do that?
Yeah.
That's, you know, you have this Wii message board, and it's basically not used for anything. Like, I don't think... I've sent, like, maybe 5 messages to friends. Mm-hmm. You know, and other than that, the only posts on my Wii message board are my play history.
Yep.
Like, why can't I get a good brain age score and say, hey, send this to all my friends to brag? That would be fun. That would be cool.
Yep.
Well, you know, I mean,
increase the replay,
because
then my friends would try and beat it, and then, you know, they would send a score back to me, and then it's... Why not? It's so simple. Just do it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the Wii is capable of downloadable content. Maybe it'll come in the future.
Maybe.
Sure, Carl.
Probably not, though.
Right.
I play the role of the hopeful optimist on RFM.
Go buy an Xbox if you want stuff actually coming out on your online system.
Yeah.
Wah, wah, wah. Anyway, next up is Resident Evil 4, which comes out on June 19th for $30. Still not going to buy it, but if you haven't played it before, it's probably
worth
it.
You're crazy, dude.
I'm not buying it for $30. I own the game already.
It doesn't matter. I own the game already. It's amazing. The key here is that Capcom is putting this game out for $30.
Yeah.
I would not... No way in hell would I spend $50 on that game again, but $30... I am extremely tempted to pick it up again.
I just don't care about Ada Wong that much.
Well,
to play, you know, the Separate Ways thing.
I gotta say that the Wii controls really intrigue me. Just to play it through with a different set of controls that are so drastically different. And the thing is, on the GameCube, I have it for GameCube, and I only played it halfway through. So.
Oh well, yeah.
So that's. Yeah. That's the real kicker for me, is the fact that I actually want to go through and beat that game because it is so good, Carl.
Well, what I will say is that something that they changed in the Wii version that I would actually really enjoy is that they changed the reticle. Mm-hmm. In that in the GameCube version, the original, it was basically just a laser, and you got that dot.
I kind of like that. It felt very realistic.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, in the new one, they have like this little weird like sparkly circle.
It's an actual reticle, which makes sense since you're using the Wii remote. You kind of need more than a dot.
Yeah.
Right, right. Anyway, and so, and that makes it so much easier to aim. And that, of course, and the, you know, the remote controls, meaning, you know, you wave your arm around, you point the gun, and it's a lot more intuitive. So I will say that the controls would work fairly well for Resident Evil 4.
Oh,
and,
totally.
You know, and it goes to show you that you can make a normal game, a normal action. I mean, really, is there really any more of a hardcore action game on the GameCube than Resident Evil 4?
Nope.
No, it's the king.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, so that goes to show you that we can do hardcore normal games. Take that, Internet. And next up, Internets. And speaking of played out gags, Pokemon Battle Revolution is coming out on June 25th.
I'm kind of wondering what's the point of this game. Like,
it's Stadium for a new generation.
But I can already play Pokemon online over the internet with my friends on the DS.
But now it's in flashy 3D, and it's on your Wii.
I guess.
And you can add another friend code.
Yeah, it'll sell a gazillion copies, though. I mean, guaranteed.
I was at GameStop when I bought Diamond last week, and the guy asked me if I wanted to pre-order Battle Revolution, which is dumb, because there's never a shortage of Pokemon games. Mm-hmm. They ship so many that you would really have to try hard to find a store that didn't have it.
Yeah. I walked in to Best Buy on release day, and they must have had, like, a couple hundred copies on the shelf.
Yep.
Exactly. So that's never going to be a problem. And I told him, you know what? I'm not buying the games. Like, I'll bet I'm going to see you back in here. And I'm like, I bet you won't.
Yeah, it's like...
You know, I mean, because... if we want to sidetrack, I don't know if I mentioned this before, so Carl, stop me if I have, but when I was picking up Pokemon, like, the guys at EB, like, were completely strong-arming the kid next to me into, like, pre-ordering like 50 games, like damn. Like they he traded in something, and like he picked up a game with his credit, his used credit, and
right,
you know, he had $5 left, and they're like, oh, you know, well, look through the, like, they have this giant book of releases just sitting on the counter, like, look through this book and pick something. And they basically didn't even tell him that he had an option to, like, get it put on a gift card. They were just like, well, you know, right, I mean, you got $5, you should put it down on something. Because it's guaranteed revenue for them. I mean, it's just like, I felt so appalled that I should have just, like, walked out of the store and bought whatever I was buying somewhere else.
It's so funny. I got suckered once into reserving Tales of Symphonia on the GameCube. Never again. Because I went through the I went through that morning. I was so pumped for Tales of Symphonia. And I go there and I'm like, are there any copies left? Because I walked to my GameStop because it's like 10 minutes away. And the guy's like, yeah, we got like 50 copies. I'm like, and I was sweating it so much because I actually reserved this for $20.
Well, I mean, you know, it's not like you're wasting $20, but it is $20 that's in their bank account earning interest and not in your bank account earning interest.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, I could have used that money for something else and then used my, you know, instantly rejuvenating cash on, you know, to buy it later. But so yeah, it's the whole reserving thing is kind of a joke. Although it will eventually bite you in the ass. Case in point, Hotel Dusk. If you didn't reserve that game or pre-order it or something, it was hard as hell to find.
Wait a week.
Yeah, I mean,
go ahead.
The only time that'll bite you is when it really depends on what type. If it's a first-party game, there's no reason to ever pre-order it. But all of these like little obscure third-party games.
Yeah, if it's coming out from like, Atlas, you should probably pre-order.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
They do one run and like the game disappears.
Yep.
If it's Atlas or a Phoenix Wright game,
yeah,
do it
exactly.
Okie doke. And after Pokemon Religion, speaking of first-party Wii Online titles, Mario Strikers Charge.
There's no date for this. It's just Nintendo says summer. Summer 07.
Tentative.
Did either of you guys play Mario Strikers?
No.
I got a review copy. And oh. It's pretty fun. If you ever played Sega Soccer Slam, it's a lot like Sega Soccer Slam.
I haven't played that yet.
I remember I played the demo at GameStop once, and it seemed pretty fun. I mean, it wasn't like fantastic, but I've never been a big fan of Mario sports games.
It was decently fun. I mean, and this, you know, Charged could be, I mean, it stands to be a lot better, maybe, you know, and if it's got online.
Oh, for sure.
If it's got online, yeah. I might be, if, as long as I can get a random match with somebody, I might pick it up.
I don't know. It depends on whether, is there voice chat enabled for it?
Probably not, because there's no microphone for the Wii yet.
Yeah.
Well, not yet.
Yeah, I mean,
but
my comment about this is that I don't know why they brought this game out instead of Mario Golf. That's what I want to see.
Mario Golf may be in development, who knows?
I hope it is.
I
love Mario
Camelot
Golf.
Still making massively multiplayer online golfing games, so they don't do Mario Golf.
They should make a massively multiplayer online Mario golfing game.
Yeah.
No.
I would love
Please
that.
No.
You know, by this, by all the things I say on this, you'd think I was like a huge fan of MMORPGs, and I actually can't stand them. I'm all for MMO other genres, but MMORPGs, like, I do not have 20 hours a week to play your video game. I don't.
Yeah, just one video game?
Seriously.
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah. But, if like, I played PlanetSide for a while. MMO first-person shooter, best idea ever, because it's a constant war between a gazillion people, and a level 1 can kill a level 60 if he's a good enough shot. And you don't stand a chance of killing anyone, like, 7 or 8 levels above you in a game like World of Warcraft. Forget it. It's, I mean, why is that fun? I can kill someone who's been playing the game for 2 years in PlanetSide when I've been playing for 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's all skill.
Already.
Anyway,
and yes. So next up on our list, speaking of killing, Manhunt 2.
This game is interesting.
Is also not... Yeah, we don't really know when it's coming out. And there was actually a recent preview in Electronic Gaming Monthly. I read up on it a little bit. And it looks, you know, if you played the first Manhunt, it's a pretty twisted game. Pretty into the torture.
I did play the first Manhunt,
into
by the way.
Into the using prison shanks. into the whole choking thing, which is a little strange for Wii controls, but we'll see what they do with it.
Yeah,
it's gonna be sick fun. And twisted, but I really think it'd be kind of maybe cool if I risk sounding like a serial killer sociopath here, but I think it'd be kind of cool if I actually got to garrote wire somebody with a Wii controller.
Yeah. I mean, I've never played...
Mike, stay away from me.
I've never played any of the Manhunt games, but it just kind of strikes me as something that would be overly gratuitous, but you would kind of just get tired of it after a while. Like,
It's a stealth game at its heart, you know? It's really just a stealth game, and it's really very, like, lather, rinse, repeat, like, sneak up on guy, kill guy, sneak up on next guy, kill next guy. But the gameplay of the stealth aspect is kind of fun.
Like, do you earn new ways to kill?
Well, let me ask you.
Or what?
Yeah, well, there's also, like, environmental kills, and, like, you know, you can pick up different weapons, and they're worth different amounts of points depending on how you kill guys. Like, if you take them out from far away, real easy, like, it doesn't give you a lot of points, but if you sneak up behind them with a plastic bag and strangle them, you get, like, a shit ton of points. Oh, and I just cursed. Oh!
Oh, explicit. Ha ha ha. Even Mike's glasses.
I was talking about Manhunt. It's okay. This podcast is rated M for mature.
Just that part of the podcast.
Ladies.
Manhunt. you can swear when you talk about anything Rockstar.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, there
and
you go.
And the last game, go ahead.
Well, I actually had a question for you, Mike, about Manhunt. Is it violent in, like, a legitimately scary way, or is it violent in, like, a Dawn of the Dead way, where it's almost
funny? Well, it's trying, you know, it's not over the top. Like, it's not trying to be over the top. It's not Grindhouse or anything. It's a very atmospheric game where when you kill a dude with a plastic bag, it looks like how a real person would kill another person with a plastic bag. It's pretty graphic, I guess you could say.
Yeah. And our last game on the list is Madden 07. And,
Lindy, you're a Madden fan, right?
Marginally, yeah. I mean, I'm interested in it. I like the, you know, I like the controls of the first, you know, Wii incarnation of it. So I'll be interested. It'll be interesting to see, you know, what they've improved, or another year development will do.
Hopefully something, you know, EA obviously cares a lot about the Wii. We've seen that, so it seems to me like they would definitely be putting a lot of their resources into Madden.
Yeah, I mean, I hope...
Well, I would hope so.
Hopefully they come with something a little bit more innovative than what they had. I mean, one of the things people were complaining about is that, you know, you can throw with, you know, using the Wii remote, but it wasn't really too exact. It was just like, you know, either you throw either fast or you throw slow. There's nothing... You can't put a lot of touch on the ball, stuff like that. So hopefully they remedy that, at least try.
Mm-hmm.
And online play, of course.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Crying out loud, online play.
Wait for Madden 08.
No? You don't think so?
Coming out this summer. No, there's been no mention of it so far, so I don't think it's coming.
Yeah, I highly doubt it.
I don't know. I mean, you'd be surprised.
No, not with Nintendo.
Struggling. Yeah, I mean, they're struggling to get that into their own games. I mean.
All right, fair enough. And I believe that concludes our list of summer games on the Wii. Looking like a semi-interesting summer. We've got some online stuff here with Pokemon.
There's
Battle
a couple
Revolution
other games that are coming out that we didn't mention. Like Harry Potter might be good. It's got Wii wand controls.
Wonderful!
I haven't played any of console Harry Potter games, but I've heard they're like half decent. So maybe it'll be okay.
I can't wait for another trip to Hogwarts.
Oh, God. And on that semi-creepy note, I believe this episode is coming to an end. And now it's time for the shilling segment, where I shill. Remember that you can subscribe to us on iTunes. Just go to iTunes
and
search Radio.
Don't forget that none of you do this, but you can also check us out on Dig.
Yes, and I actually know the URL. I memorized it. That's dig.com, that's D-I-double-G.com.
I'm sure if you've been on the internet for any amount of time, you know that already, but...
Well, you never know. Slash podcast, / radio, / free, / Nintendo, / MP3. And you can dig us.
Though you will need
D-I-double-G.com.
A Dig account to access podcasts, because I do believe they're still in beta.
That takes like 2 seconds. Like 2 seconds to register. And remember, if you have any mail for us, any questions, you can send those to rfn@nintendoworldreport.com. And remember, we've got that special 5 minutes of fame thing going, so ready up those segments. And if you've got any general questions about it, just send an email to either me at carl@nintendoworldreport.com or the regular RFN at NintendoReport.com. And is there anything else to shill?
Next week is our 52nd episode, which I believe marks 1 year on the tubes.
1 year. Yay! I wasn't a part of the original cast, but I am now. Sort
and
of.
We're not. we're still not making promises, but we're pretty sure Evan will be making a return for this very special episode Ooh. Of Radio Free Nintendo.
He told me if he doesn't come, he's going to leave Oregon.
Oh.
I just made that up.
That is
if he doesn't
total
come,
lie.
I'm going to go to Oregon and punch his face in.
There we go.
It's a there's guarantee.
There's a promise we can keep.
No clue on when he'll collect on it, but one day.
Alrighty, so that about ends this episode of Radio Free Nintendo. Come back next week. It's 1 year, so we're important.
That's right.
See you next time, everybody.
Later, kids.
Later.